Hey, podcasters. Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
Hey, on today's catch-up, Leah faces her fear of balloons and we get over our fear that one might pop in front of her.
Rick and Sue celebrate 60 years of Channel 7 Perth.
And we gave Matt some song suggestions for hits from your hood, Glendalough.
And I'm pretty sure he ignored us again.
After you get this Big Breakfast catch-up, get Waterwise. Search Water Watchers.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5. Clancy, Matt and Kimber's
International Face Your Fears Week, and we are celebrating some results already this week with Jenny, who she faced her fear of reptiles the other day and actually touched one.
We're making a difference.
Yeah, and Leah from Harrisdale, who has a bizarre fear of balloons, is on her way in, but we need a bit of help with this one.
We sure do.
So we thought we'd get a clinical psychologist in, Lisa Irving from Revive Health and Wellness as well, is joining
health
us as well.
Happiness, at least, dot com
is right here. Lisa, welcome.
Good morning. Now, Lisa, there's plenty of different techniques that people try and get over phobias and these really crippling fears, but you're doing something different that we don't know much about called EMDR.
Eye movement. Desensitization reprocessing, which is a big mouthful. So that's why we say EMDR.
And so how does this system work, and how many sessions is this sort of thing about?
So for most people, it'd be anywhere between 2 and 6 sessions. And essentially it was originally designed for people with trauma, so post-traumatic stress disorder. So if you think about perhaps if it was a car accident, for example, you get the person to actually think about the memory of the accident itself. And during the session, you'd elicit what the negative belief or negative interpretation that goes with that memory. And then using eye movements of about 30 to 60 seconds at a time, you get them to what we call neuroprocess the memory. So then we pause every 30 seconds or so and then say to them, what did they observe or notice in terms of things like physical sensations, thoughts, images, emotions, other kinds of memories that it might link to. And what tends to happen is that that develops over time. So often it starts off a little bit scary for people, but then gradually over time that gets easier and easier and their mind starts changing in terms of how they see it.
Oh. Wow. So just to be clear, if you're watching someone and you're asking them to relive a traumatic experience, are you watching their eye movement, or is the eye movement a part of the exercise to get over that trauma?
We're actually doing the eye movement. So I'm watching their eyes move as I'm moving. Usually I use a pen and use a left to right eye movement, backwards and forwards during the process itself.
Wow.
Mm. Lisa, I'm trying to erase the memory of the 2013 grand final. My doctors and Hawthorne. Been working the EMDR so hard I've gone cross-eyed. Should I just get over it?
Well, with my help, of course, you could just get over that.
Oh, please.
Oh, don't do that. We want him to feel that pain.
Yeah, don't.
We have a lot of fun at his expense.
So how about with someone like Leah from Harrisdale? You'll be having a chat with her?
Yes. And with Leo, I was thinking if we have less time, there's actually another EMDR technique. And with this one, we actually ask the person to think about a place that gives them pleasure. And we use the same eye movement to induce the pleasure and the enjoyment of that special place. And then we ask the person to deliberately just flick to the very thing that they're fearful of. But the idea of the flick is it's so quick. It's less than a second that they're flicking to it and then back to the special place. So it's quite a comfortable way for people to help reduce the intensity of that anxiety.
So. All right. Well, this will be fascinating.
Hey, thanks, Lisa. That's amazing. Thank you.
No worries.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Claire, Matt and Kimber's
7:08, facing fears of all kinds this week.
Oh, and it's been extraordinary, hasn't it? Because, you know, we all live this life and we're frightened of certain things. And, you know, we had reptiles and now we've got Leah with balloons. And, you know, when someone says that, you go, oh, really, balloons? But that it's extraordinary what it does to you.
Yeah, like it's a very real thing for Leah.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you know, she's pretty surprised. We had her come in yesterday. And she's quite crippled by it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know someone who's scared of cotton wool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it may sound like the office joke, but it's true. If it's a fear, it's a very real fear for that person.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we spoke to Leah, this sounded pretty off the charts for me.
Certainly did.
So what about the inflated balloon is it that you find frightening?
The noise mainly, like the noise it makes, and just the fear of it going off.
Right.
And if it's close, is it going to hurt?
Right,
Okay.
What about something that's happened to you at some stage in your life? Was there a balloon moment when you were very young?
Well, I don't remember personally, but according to my sister, she says that when we were kids, someone popped a balloon directly in my face.
Right.
And since then, that's been the issue.
Oh.
Yeah, but I don't remember that.
Okay. And so if you had to rank your fear on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think your fear of balloons sits?
Probably about 8 or 9.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So children's birthdays, engagement parties, events you walk into, enough for you to leave the room?
Pretty much. My daughter's never had balloons at her birthday because I just can't deal with that.
Mm.
And all my friends with kids, whenever they have parties, they generally keep the balloons away.
Wow.
Wow.
Our catch up with Leah of Harrisdale, who's on her way in. And this is something that could be quite crippling as far as friendships are concerned. You'd imagine if you're, we don't want to invite the woman who's, scared of balloons to the kid's birthday party.
Well, it impacts the whole family. Her daughter's never had balloons at it. So Leah's going to come in.
Yep.
We're going to get her with Lisa Irving, our clinical psychologist, and we're going to see if we can make some positive changes for Leah.
Yeah, Lisa's going to try that EMDR system that she was talking about to try and get Leah over the line.
Oh, all about working the eyes.
Yeah, a bit of time together before we confront her with some balloons.
Okay, the fear continues.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Yesterday, in fact, all week. Can you celebrate fear with Face Your Fears Day?
You can celebrate overcoming fear.
I guess you can.
Yeah.
Facing fear.
And that's what we've been doing. Jenny has overcome her fear of reptiles by touching a snake or...
Well, wouldn't say overcome.
No, she's certainly doing better though.
Yeah, we pushed her in the right direction.
In the right direction,
there was a bit of pushing going on.
Perfection,
Now we've got Leah from Harrisdale who wants to face her fear of balloons.
And Lisa has made her way in for this.
Matt and Kimber's fear.
Leah from Harrisdale, welcome back. Good to see you again.
Thank you for having me back.
Now, Leah, how did you go? You had a session with Lisa and did this EMDR. Did that help bring your sort of stress levels down in terms of the fear for balloons?
Yeah, I think it did. I started off quite anxious and then by the end of it, I was actually quite relaxed and I even said that I think I can handle a balloon being in the room.
That's great.
Yeah.
How do you feel right now?
A little bit anxious, a little bit nervous, but my chest isn't as tight as I thought.
Okay. Because you were saying sort of like 8 out of 10 kind of anxiety levels.
Yeah, yeah. And like before, my chest would be really tight and, struggling to breathe and my hands would be all sweaty, but I'm quite relaxed.
You could be coming down with the flu.
Well, Leah, right now we do have some balloons in the room. Okay. They're covered at the moment. They're just behind you here, so you can see that they're safe. They're covered
is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
You feeling all right?
Yep.
Okay. So, my question for you, is it okay if I remove that cloth?
I think I'd prefer it over the other side.
On the other side? That's not a problem.
I can make that happen. Watch me do it.
So remembering that balloons stay inflated.
Yeah.
Remember that's how we were framing it before?
So Kimber's moved to the other side of the room and you're happy for her to bring out a balloon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just one. Probably about 3-4 metres away from where Leah's sitting right now.
There we go.
So that's part of the sound that you don't like?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm going to try and hold it just by the string here so that I don't make any sound with it.
Okay.
Are you okay, Leah? How are you feeling?
Chest is a little bit tight, mm-hmm. but as long as it kind of stays over there, it's
okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
So if you want to take some nice deep breaths again and just imagine your special place and know that you're in a safe room here with us and that this balloon is staying inflated.
They're hard to pop, aren't they?
They're very hard to
pop.
You have to do it quite deliberately.
Yeah. I'm okay.
What would you rate your number out of 10 now?
I've got a 7.
Okay. Can I ask, Leah, would it have been any different if I had chosen a different colour?
No.
Doesn't matter?
No, not at all, no.
Kimber, she's not a racist.
Matt.
You can't say that. So the sound of the popping, or if Kimber was to make that noise that you really disturbed by. So that's a...
Don't like that sound.
Yeah, and that's a fear of it threatening to pop, perhaps?
Yeah, and I think the sound, I associate that sound with it's going to pop
as
well.
Because there's a bit of pressure
it's
on
often,
it.
It's often the sound that is made before the pop.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Can be, yeah.
And so how would you feel if I tried to stand closer to you? Could I try that?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'll just move very slowly, and I'm only holding it by the ribbon.
Yeah.
I'm not touching the balloon.
So just a few steps without Kimber tripping over.
Yeah.
So that would be a problem.
Okay.
So it's a bit nerve-wracking, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's good that she's holding it by the ribbon. That's not actually holding the balloon. It's helping a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great, though. I mean, you know, when you arrived, you said you didn't think you could be in a room with her.
No.
And here we are. Like, this is awesome.
2.5 metres away. You've done so well, but we want to take it to the next level. Are you okay with hanging around?
Yeah.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
You're a bad nightmare. You're scaring me.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber's
I'm glad our friend Jenny wasn't with us when we played Joanna because she had a fear of reptiles. We've been there and now we're in the balloon zone.
Oh, we are. If you've just tuned in, Leah from Harrisdale is terrified of balloons. And so far we've managed to keep her here in the room and have a balloon in the same room as Leah. And we've got psychologist Lisa Irving with us as well to try and keep Leah safe through this process.
Absolutely. We needed professional help and we have it.
Yeah, this is what's going on right now and this is all happening live.
Are you surprised?
Yeah. Yeah, very surprised.
Well, you're doing?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Normally I'd be like overcrowding in a corner.
Oh, right. Yeah. Is it a natural inclination for you to want to leave the room?
Yes.
And is it harder because Kimber's got the balloon there as well?
Yeah, she's kind of blocking the exit, so I've really got nowhere to go anyway.
Yep, so the other way in the room.
I have to, like, push her out the
way. Gotcha, yeah. Without touching the balloon.
I wouldn't put up a fight, don't worry. But I can't go around the other side of you because then I'm behind you.
Yeah, no, definitely not behind. I have to see it.
Yeah. So, Leah, is there a part of you right now that either wants to escape the room? I would imagine there's a bit of that. Is there also a part of you that would like to get closer, or is that just something that's very unnatural?
Yeah, so there's like a little bit that wants to leave.
Yes.
But there's more that can come closer, and there's more, so there's like the tiniest, maybe like 1% that actually want to touch it.
Right, okay.
But I don't think I'm quite there yet.
That's so cool, though.
Better than zero.
Yeah.
How incredible that there's, you know, a part of you, it doesn't matter how small, a part of you goes, I'm kind of curious and I'd like to be able to do that, because that's what you're here for. We were trying to face our fears.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand.
I never thought I'd say I could touch a balloon.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Leah, do you think if Kimber was to just hand you the string that you could, not the balloon, but just hold on to the string?
You're still a fair way away from the balloon itself.
Yeah. And it's just the string? We'll try.
So Leah is reaching out for the string right now.
Are you happy for me to let go?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. Don't let go. Just
okay.
So it's probably
not gonna. It's helium, isn't it? So it's not.
Yes, helium. Small. Yeah.
You know what's wonderful for us too is to see the smile on your face.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, you know, when you came in, I mean, you were very friendly when you came in, of course. But like, as soon as we got in here and were talking about it, you know, less smiles, and so I think I can see almost a sense of pride.
That
you've been able to do this, which is wonderful.
Realised I've also gone up a little bit.
Yes, you have. up the ribbon just slightly,
It's been a long time since I've actually held a balloon.
You are doing so well. I'm staggered. I did not think when you came in you'd be able to do this.
Oh, I made that sound.
How do you feel?
Not too bad.
Yeah, that's really good. You look like your breathing's pretty good too. Well done.
That's
making that sound.
As it would at the bottom.
You want to get used to the sound as well.
Yeah.
Show yourself that the sound's okay.
You're sort of defying your natural inclination to escape.
Just throw it out. Yeah.
A relief,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What a great result. Well done, Leah.
What do you think your daughter would be thinking right now?
Olivia's probably going to ask for balloons at her next birthday. And I might be able to say yes. I might have to take this one home and work my way up to actually blowing it up, maybe.
Yeah, just don't walk in like the clown from It holding a red balloon.
And Leah, for your courage today here at Mix 94.5, we want to reward you with a stay for two at Abbey Beach Resort.
Oh, nice.
How good's that?
That sounds lovely.
We won't fill the room with balloons, of course.
No, that'd be really good.
Go and relax.
Well done.
Thank you.
And a week of facing your fears here at Mix 94.5. What an effort from Leah.
Yeah. Dr. Phil, eat your heart out.
Love it.
Yeah. Am I going to get someone in to help me when I have to do it tomorrow?
Dr. Claire's and Dr. Jankinski.
I'm going to face my fear of spiders. Am I just being lumped with you two trying to talk me over into it?
These two chumps are going to hold your hand and pretend we're... Well, trust us, we're practically doctors, aren't we, Matt?
You say spiders. Mm. I mean, this thing basically has its own postcode.
Yeah. You didn't need to get like a crazy big one. You could have just got a standard.
No, we didn't need to.
No.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth
for brekkie.
I've changed. Why don't you? Switch to 7 at the new time of 6 for the best news you'll get all day.
Plus, the award-winning talents of Rick Arden.
The 7 team brings you all the news that matters every night at the new time of 6 o'clock.
Welcome to television in Western Australia.
How's this? 60 years of TVW Channel 7. Rick and Sue, good morning.
Good morning.
Good
wonderful
morning.
To be here.
It's not 60 years since we started.
No. We've covered off your time together, of course. We mentioned that. You know, the incredible... number of years you two have worked together, but this is 60 years for 7 Perth.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you guys would have seen the business change. I mean, you say that, but you've been there half of that time. You've done 30
He's
years
together.
He's been
there two-thirds.
So, well, wow. I mean, it's incredible.
Do you know Rick's the longest-serving staff member at Channel 7?
Really?
I was a child bride, you know.
You were. I've seen the photos.
Wow, you would have seen the landscape of TV change so much in that time.
Oh, it certainly has too. It's gone from film to video to the digital age, but it's wonderful. We embrace change and looking forward to the future too. It's great.
And black and white to colour. Yes. And all those things that have happened. And yeah, it's astonishing. I remember going into Children's Channel 7 when I was a kid with my Mickey Mouse ears.
Oh, that's cute. And you know, it's this thing like radio, like the bicycle. You think of these inventions that would have started in 1959. It would have been, you know, four people in Perth may have had one.
And we used to stand watching it. I was a little kid.
Yeah.
So we used to stand and watch it in shop windows.
Yes, right.
Which was amazing. And one lady down the street who ran the school shop near where I went to school,
yeah,
she had a television and she used to let us go down there and we would buy a pie from her shop and sit in her living room and watch her television.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I remember when you were mid-80s, 86 you came from the ABC system. 85, moving over. But I think about not just you two, but some of the great names, and Jeff Newman's one that first comes to mind.
Yeah.
There are so many stars who've worked at 7 Perth, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely. The people with longevity.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been the thing. The connection between, I think that's part of the connection between 7 and the community too, because we've had so many people who've stayed with us for a long time, and people recognise you as being part of the seven team, and that's the whole Perth thing.
That's true. And when you think about it, I mean, people grew up with telethon and the Christmas pageant.
True.
I remember as a kid sitting there at night, staying up really late and watching, and so many people have done that through the generations too, watching that. And telethon coming up next weekend, by the way, I should get that.
Ah, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah,
and you know, we understand it's the same as radio. We've been riding the heritage of Dean Clares for years.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
And he hasn't changed an
ounce. No, he hasn't.
But you've even had changes. You know, you went into this new studio, for example, and they sort of went, you're in here with the cameras. You don't have the traditional cameramen in there that
no,
you used
we've got
to
robotic
have.
Cameras too. We've got a big green screen behind us, which is all mystery, and people aren't really allowed to take photos in there because it's advanced technology. But it certainly has changed over the years. It really has.
Yeah. Does it feel different when you're doing that, when you're broadcasting like that?
Do you know, I used to like it when we had cameramen and floor managers.
Yeah,
it was
too.
Nice. Now we've got robotic cameras that occasionally crash into each
other. I saw one a couple of weeks ago.
As well handled Monica Koss.
Well handled, you too.
Oh, Monica Koss, that was so funny, wasn't it? And there's Monica chasing the camera around the room.
That was gold.
Yeah, it was.
But the great thing is you've got a joystick now, presumably. So if you don't like the shot, you can just adjust it a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they play Fortnite in the ad breaks. I did see that night. I went, oh, something's not going right, but it was very entertaining.
Oh, it was. People love it when things like that happen. It's like the time that I filled in for Jeff when Jeff lost his voice.
That's right.
The
yes. Santa Airport. Yeah,
and
I remember
the worst
that.
Thing was that Jeff didn't script himself, so I had to take over the weather with no script.
You're winging it.
And I'm going, Jeff, you've got to help me here. And he's going, there's a front.
We know that very well. We used to play that audio to Jeff every time he came in. He goes, why are you still playing my Jandakot Airport bit?
Good.
Yeah, it was a good rescue, Susanna. Well done.
Oh, it was fun.
So 60 years, big celebration. What's going on at 7, or is there a party somewhere?
Oh, cupcakes all around this morning. We've got the 11 o'clock gathering at work too to celebrate 60 years. And, of course, with the West too, the West, their circulation's up. So it's a day of celebration today.
Oh, very
too.
Good. Oh, very nice indeed.
Well, despite all the changes in technology, you know, 7 is still part of the family. It's part of the fabric of the city, isn't
great?
It?
Isn't that great? We're so happy about that. It's really nice that we've got this recognition factor for the whole station
too. That's right. And look, Sue and I have been doing it together for 35 years. You know, we were meant to be picked up earlier this morning by a driver. We're standing out in the cold, you know, waiting for the driver. Not together, of course, at our own homes. Because some people wonder if we're married or, you know, that sort of thing, but we're not.
My husband reckons that when people look at him and they go, oh, you're not Rick, they get disappointed.
Oh, really? That's hilarious.
We should do a special where we just get your partners in and go, like, we'll make you the stars because you're always, you know, the background
poor
guys.
Things. They do have a rough time sometimes.
They certainly do. Well, I saw the ad for the Christmas pageant the other day and I went, there are so many things part of the fabric of Perth, as Matt was talking about, that are linked to Seven.
Yeah.
That's true.
And we do have a special treat for you.
Here
in
we
comes
go.
Producer Tom with the first of many cakes that you'll have today.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, look at that.
Happy birthday, Channel 7.
Yeah, oh,
that's
thank
great.
You.
Thanks so much.
To take back to the studio so everybody can just stick their hands in there and have a go at that.
Oh, yeah, you guys are
fantastic.
Great.
Or feel free to leave half of it here if you want.
Or three quarters or two eighths.
Is it a real one or is it one of those cardboard ones?
No, it is.
Well, that's very kind of you. And to the people of Perth, too, who've stuck with Channel 7 for all those years, you know, we live in a wonderful city. There are wonderful people in this town and we love you all. So thanks for watching.
Well, Perth's the friendliest city, don't you know?
Yeah, how's that?
We just saw that this morning. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, yeah, in the old school speak, happy birthday, STW, Channel 7, and these two are 40.
TVW.
Sorry, TVW. I said Channel 9 before too. So TVW, Channel 7, of course, has been said for a long time, and happy 60th to Channel 7 Perth.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having us.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
And don't forget, as we wrap up this morning, thousands of Perth households have found out how water-wise they are. We've been sort of elaborating on this morning. You can check it out yourself and see how you compare. Search Water Watchers.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, Glendalough, Matt's Hits from Your Hood, will be dropping on Friday. And I'm not going to lie to you, it's been difficult.
Yes.
This suburb has had the least interaction of any suburb that I've done.
Yeah.
All I know really is that there is a great pie from a shop that closed down a year ago.
You put it out to the people of Perth.
As I always do.
They didn't give you much.
No.
And so I want to help with a suggestion.
Yeah, what do you got, Casey?
Because we didn't get a lot of content and Glendalough is such a small suburb.
It is very small.
I thought what you need is a song with heaps of instrumental to kind of pad it out a bit.
Oh, okay.
I love it. Yep.
So this is what I've gone with. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
So, Glendalough. And then kick into a bunch of this.
So the synth effects.
You don't even have to fill it. You don't need lyrics.
Synthesizer.
There's nothing there.
That is so good. The only problem I have with it is that I never want to hear Sussudio ever again.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I'm really torn in that one.
Especially when you work the song for so long.
Glendalough.
No, that's not bad, actually.
I do like the synthesizer. That's so 80s, isn't it? I'm going to go with a dance song from about a decade ago, okay? So the song by itself sounds a bit like this. So, remember?
Yes.
So this, of course, was Flo Rida with T-Pain.
Love this track.
So if you start it again and you go in a Glendalough kind of way, so you say, they've got a hub on street, engines purr, unit block called Sharon, we're all looking at her. She's so small. It's a tiny suburb, Glendalough, low, Glendalough.
Oh, take that, nice. Old town road.
Nice.
Very. Old town road.
Is that what it's called?
It is.
Wow.
Haven't given you much,
not much,
we?
No.
A bit more than the people of Perth gave you, to be fair.
It's all right. I'm going to save it all with a special guest.
Oh, okay.
What?
Bang.
Playing synthesizer.
Oh.
Take that.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, take that at coming in. Awesome.
Gary, come over here, love.
Gary Barlow.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jim King missed.
Now, Michelle Kobke, she's a Berliner.
Oh, yeah.
She's 30, and she's been in a relationship for 5 years.
Right.
And she's in one of those relationships, which I'm sure a lot of our FIFO families understand, that someone that you love is constantly getting on an airplane and flying away.
Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't.
Sad song, isn't it?
Sad song. The only difference is that Michelle's lover is indeed a 737-800 series.
Oh.
We love these stories.
There are so many women around the world. It makes me feel worried that we've come to such a desperate state of affairs that we're just marrying inanimate objects.
Men are so crap that it's,
like
you're better
sad.
Off.
For it. We've had people, women, like women married to ghosts and
yeah,
trees.
Trains. Yes.
Oh.
Well, Michelle claims the relationship is physical,
right?
And it's her dream to one day live in the hangar. With a 737-800.
Is she a homewrecker? Did she break up a relationship with Jeff Thomas?
I'm not sure, but I think Captain Paul's had similar fantasies.
Mm, it's giving a whole new meaning to I want to be inside you.
Yes, it does. And there are pictures of her kissing the fuselage, hugging the wing and enjoying time in the cockpit.
It's intimacy, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, she calls the... Because, of course, she's German, so she calls the aircraft her Schwarz or darling.
Oh, yeah.
And she's had a huge fiberglass model made that she can sleep with.
Right.
She keeps it in Kimber's second drawer, actually.
Sure. Does it fit?
It does, just.
Pretty full,
just.
Full drawer.
There's a lot in there, but it does. Now, she knew in 2013 that she had a thing for planes.
Right.
But it wasn't until March of 2014 that she boarded her first 737-800 series.
So a fling with a Cessna maybe on the way up.
This is the one. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So, look, we wish them well.
Yeah.
Yeah, good on them.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how it's, you know, can't fall apart, can it?
Well.
I mean, that's a sort of relationship. Who can get in the way of that?
I don't know.
I don't know. Volcanic ash?
A bird in the engine?
Yeah.
With two in the bush?
Yeah.
Who knows?
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
In Australia's friendliest city of Perth.
Oh, the best city in the world.
Hey.
Yes, we have been voted by the Big 7 travel website, which we don't really know where that comes from. Probably Perth.
Super legit, I'm sure.
And they have said that Perth is the friendliest city or town in Australia. Second comes Coffs Harbour, Brisbane, etc., etc. Sydney doesn't even make it into the top 10.
It's not on the list.
No, not friendly enough.
Not friendly enough.
Okay.
Too much business.
Yeah, too many numbers.
I would say so. I mean, it's lovely, isn't it? They're saying that they had a social media audience of 1.5 million.
Yes.
Where they said, tell us where you'd find the friendliest cities and towns around Australia.
Mm.
Perth is top notch. They said it's our lively locals, engaging social scene and ease of access for first-time visitors.
All of which can be seen in Northbridge at 4 a.m.
Sounds like they've made a terrible mistake. Like, what part is ease of access? It's the most isolated city in the world and our public transport's pretty rubbish.
I just want to say, well said by both of you. Good morning to Kimber. Matt, good to see you here. Would you like me to wash your car? We are in the friendliest city in the world.
I have to say, though, I mean, when I've travelled, you know, through the world, which I haven't done all the world, but when I've had in my travels and I've come across other Australians and there's a big smile on their face, and more often than not, the ones that I've really warmed to very quickly, you finally say, where are you from? And they're from Perth.
They're from Perth.
Yeah. There's a lot of friendly people
here.
Something about our isolation, I'm not sure.
Maybe.
The only time I questioned it is yesterday. I haven't been in Rockaby Road in Subi for a while.
Yes.
Right. So I was walking down there and the same bloke, when I used to work in Rockaby Road, when our radio station was up there, and the same bloke who sits outside the post office and asks for a couple of bucks, you get a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
And I realised I just walked past him yesterday. I used to stop and have a chat and I went, maybe I'm not as friendly as I used to. So I know one thing that's guaranteed, that he'll always be friendly and I'll go and see him today.
Mate, you need to move to Coffs Harbour.
I think I should move
to
Sydney.
You're not supposed to be
here. What's going on?
Oh, look, the important part is we beat out Melbourne and Melbourne's at number 6 and that always feels like the greatest divide there, trying to beat Melbourne.
Yeah,
right.
So we're the friendliest city in the country and we have the biggest meth problem. Just saying, maybe there's a correlation.
You didn't mention daylight savings.
No.
Get a couple of bucks.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Yes. Now, a new book has come out.
Mm.
Yeah.
About...
Well, sorry, go on.
No.
I was excited.
It's about dogs and we love our dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying that dogs can smell if you've had sex, exercised, smoke or eaten just by sniffing.
Really?
Now, yes. Could this book be up for the award of the Der Fred Award?
Isn't it just the most obvious thing they could possibly state?
Yeah. I mean, dogs can find people trapped under rubble.
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sake, of course they know if you've had a bit of fun.
They can find a tiny little flake or poofteenth of drug in really heavily packed bags.
They certainly
at the airport.
Can, Your
they
Honor.
Absolutely can. They've sent them out into the snow to rescue people. They've done all these things, but apparently we're meant to be really shocked and horrified and amazed by the fact that they can smell if we've been having a little bit of a roll around with our partners.
Yes. Yes. I guess the interesting angle is that we do, what's that great word, anthropomorphize our animals.
Brilliant
right?
word.
We want them to behave like people, and some people get a bit shy or embarrassed when their dogs are sniffing other dogs' butts.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that's what dogs do.
Yeah.
And she, this lady's saying, you got to let them do that because that off they communicate.
You're right.
Communicate with each other that way.
Yeah. It's not dissimilar to us.
No.
Oh,
no.
Sort of.
I mean, we are, you know, I think that too. But if I take McGruff down to the dog park, if there are dogs humping him or if he tries to jump on other dogs, which doesn't happen all that often, but
right.
I feel like I have to pull him off and pull him.
Oh, hello.
Sorry?
Hello. Stop anthropomorphizing him.
What was that about?
I just, because, you know, you can't just let him jump on someone else's dog. They might hate that.
You want to remove him from the other
dog. Yeah, it doesn't seem appropriate.
What about those people who get a bit shy of, you know, doing the wild thing while the dog's in the room? Is that also, what did you say? What was your word?
Anthropomorphizing.
I just want you to keep saying it.
Even if you don't have them in there, they can still smell that you've done it afterwards.
They smell the wild thing.
No, I think it's important to expose your dog to everything, I believe. But it's so typical of Kimber to make that leap from sniffing butts to
humping
that quickly.
Humping around.
Honestly.
Because isn't the sniffing butt like the flirting bit?
No, that's saying hello.
Oh.
We're living in the in Australia's friendliest city, Kimber.
We are here in
Perth. We've got to let our dog say g'day in their way.
Can the dog differentiate or at least work out, ascertain which style you've done?
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Have faith.
Believe. You must have faith.
Ooh, I gotta have faith.
Do not lose your hope.
Time to play our game, a new game here for the very second time called Faith.
Yeah, let's get our player Greg from Armidale on the line. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, Greg. Welcome, Greg. Don't be shy, Greg. There he is.
Have we got him?
Now. Yeah, it's working now.
G'day, Greg.
Good morning, crew. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. Thanks, buddy. Welcome to Faith. It's the game where we sort of ask you how well you know us, really.
Yeah. Greg, I'm up to play today, so the boys are going to send me out of the room and they're going to give you the category of the question they're going to ask, and you're going to just let them know whether or not you have faith in me that I'll get the answer correct or maybe I'm going to botch it up.
You're right
okay.
with that.
Okay, with that. We're going to send Kimber out of the
Kimber,
room.
Out you go.
I'll leave.
So Kimber is removing her headphones and leaving. See ya.
See ya. I'll just wait for that door to close.
Yeah. She's going to put on a giant pair of headphones just outside there, so she can't hear a thing. Okay, Greg.
Yep.
All right, mate. Now the category we're going to ask Kimber about is space exploration. Do you think she will know the answer to a question from that category?
What do you reckon?
No faith.
You don't have faith in Kimber?
No.
Okay.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
All right. Let's get her back in.
Call her back in. Come on.
Kimber can see us signalling her back in because it's a glass building in which we're in right now.
Okay.
Welcome back into the goldfish bowl, Kimber.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay. We're ready for the question.
Okay, Kimber.
What's the category?
The category is space exploration.
Oh, gee.
Careful.
Oh, God.
Careful.
Space exploration.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I don't need to know if Greg believes in me yet. We'll find out afterwards. Okay.
Here is the question.
Yep.
Go.
What was the name of the second man on the moon?
You can work through history if you want. Go through the first one if you like, and it helps.
I can't remember. Like, there was a Buzz Aldrin and there was a Neil Armstrong.
Right.
Are they considered, like, you mean which one of them stepped on second out of those two?
Well, that's the question.
Okay.
That is the second man on the moon.
Yeah, if it was those two who were the first ones there.
It is quite a long way away.
Yeah, it's also tough because I don't think we did it. I mean, I'm going to go with...
I don't think we did it. That's another matter for another show.
I'm going to go with Neil Armstrong.
Okay, Neil Armstrong.
So maybe the second man on the moon.
No.
The second man on the moon.
There are 5-year-olds in the car that know this answer.
One giant leap backwards for mankind.
Oh,
right
no!
There.
Is it Buzz?
Yes.
Oh, damn it.
Buzz Lightyear, I think.
Oh, no, Greg.
Oh.
Did you have faith in me?
Not at all.
Hey!
Oh, Greg!
Hey, well done.
Do you listen to the show regularly, Greg?
Every morning.
Oh, so you know that I suck at quizzes.
Yeah, I actually laughed when I heard Space Exploration.
I started to panic, Greg, when she started throwing the names around. I thought, oh, she does know.
I mean,
it.
I sort of thought Buzz is the more popular dude, but maybe that was just because he had a catchy name.
Yeah, Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
Buzz
Lightyear. Well, Greg, congratulations. I'm glad that I suck at that question for you.
Great prize, too. Something you could take to space.
Absolutely. For not having faith, Greg, you have won a DeWalt heavy-duty wheeled power tool bag. Get in store now to trade in and trade up with the unmissable deals on DeWalt tools. DeWalt guaranteed tough. That's for you, buddy.
Awesome.
Well done, Greg. Have a good day at work there.
Thanks for listening, Greg.
Oh, Houston, we have a problem with Kimber. That's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
How embarrassing. Sorry, everyone.
Probably the most famous bit of footage of all time.
Quite possibly, although... Yeah.
Kimber, as I said, I don't think we walked on the moon, so it's a challenge.
Kimber's a conspiracy theory girl. We'll talk about that another day.
Now you've got this big breakfast catch-up. Get water-wise. Search Water Watchers. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.